This is the Praying with the Eyes podcast, episode 25, as our struggle to forgive. In this podcast, Rochelle Hecker and I tackle the topic of forgiveness. We talk about lies as well as biblical truths concerning forgiveness as we hear the words of Paul to the Colossians that we are to forgive as the Lord has forgiven us.
Welcome to the Praying with the Eyes podcast. Your hosts are Doug Bronner, senior pastor at Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and Rochelle Hecker, mom and public speaker. As an avid photographer, Doug combines the beauty of God's creation with the beauty of God's Word in a daily Praying with the Eyes devotional blog. Today's discussion digs deeper into a topic that was first introduced in one of these daily blogs. Thanks again for tuning in to the Praying with the Eyes podcast.
Well, I'm back. We asked you if you had any ideas or thoughts about topics that Rochelle and I could take on these podcasts. And one that came up a couple of times that I thought was a good topic to take on is the topic of forgiveness. And from the perspective of not God forgiving us, so that is a part of it. I mean, we can't talk about forgiving other people without talking about what Christ has done for us. But we are forgiving other people. And when you think about that, there's a couple of sides to that story, too. We could take it as needing to ask forgiveness of other people, and it's probably a good podcast to have sometime as well. But we're going to take on the aspect of forgiving someone else, whether they've asked for it, not asked for it. I mean, we could go into that topic even further as well. But more broadly, the idea of forgiving someone else who has offended us, and what does that look like, what doesn't look like. These podcasts are based on a blog that appears on the Praying with the Eyes website. For the first time, one of these podcasts is not based on a blog that I wrote, one of those daily devotional blogs. It's actually based on a blog that was written by one of our other bloggers, Larissa Odell, who has been subbing in for people when they can't write. And she wrote one called As. And It deals with this issue of forgiveness. We'll talk more about that in segment four. The picture that is attached to it is one that I took. It took not that long ago when I was at a pastor's conference, got there early so I could go downtown Canyon City, Colorado, and take pictures and do some street photography. This is not what I'm known for, and it stretches me some, and I have a small little Sony camera, that mirrorless camera that I use for that, so it doesn't look like I'm got my big honking Sony A772 with a 70 to 200 millimeter lens on it, and really looks obvious. So, but anyway, so I have a couple of chairs, and I'll talk about that later. The podcast, this Praying with the Eyes podcast, is a ministry of Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and if you want to find out more about Holy Cross, we invite you to our newly designed website at holycrosscs.org, holycrosscs as in Colorado Springs, .org. You can also go to the Praying with the Eyes website itself, and kind of an obvious address for the website, it's prayingwiththeeyes.com, and we'd love for you to come there to read the daily devotional blogs. And haven't been as many other blogs posted recently, and that's mainly due to me. I've got some to post, but there's been a lot going on here. We've had a number of deaths recently at Holy Cross, and transitioning with Pastor Dave leaving, and so sometimes the priorities have to be what they are. And that's not a bad thing or a good thing, it's just an is thing. So, Rochelle and I would love for you to continue this conversation by emailing us, and with questions or thoughts, either way. You can do that by emailing us at questions@prayingwiththeeyes.com. Again, that's questions@prayingwiththeeyes.com. And if you do have other suggestions for future podcasts, go ahead and leave them for us too. We'd love to take your suggestions. So, Rochelle, you got to be busy right now because you got into school stuff. I remember that with kids. I don't have any of that going on. All the programs, all the getting things lined up for summer and all that. So is your life kind of crazy?
My life is kind of crazy. And, you know, every year it surprises me.
Why? And you say, why should it surprise me?
Right. Spring is just crazy. But and as my kids are older, there's less programs at the end of the year, but
really
yeah, just because they're not, I don't know, there's just high school doesn't do as much unless you're graduating. But we do have a piano recital coming up, and baseball's about to end, so we have a tournament coming up. And then I think the hardest part is just planning for the trips that we want to do this summer. And just I'm finally realizing that if I don't make summer plans, they start making plans for me.
That's true.
So
Billy have a good year in the baseball?
He did. He has. His team has done great this season.
What position does he usually play?
Mostly second or shortstop.
Oh, man. The ball comes at you too fast. In third base, for sure. And I just, give me the outfield, preferably right field.
I don't know. They've been getting a lot of hits out in the right field lately.
Got some fast pitchers then.
He does enjoy the outfield, too, I will say.
He enjoys baseball.
Just enjoys baseball, and I enjoy watching, so it's fun.
Yeah, because you're quite the baseball fan, you Cardinal fan, you.
I love it, yep.
Cardinals are struggling this year.
They are. I'm a little frustrated watching them, so it's more fun to watch my son play right now.
Yeah,
the Mariners are doing great, though.
Yeah, I was going to say the Mariners right now, because you and I both follow them. Are doing wonderful. I mean, let's see how long it lasts. And actually, the Rockies, you know, they usually get off to a fast start, and they're not this year, so there's hope. And they're doing fairly well within the division. You know, it's tough. So anyway, we're going to talk about this issue of forgiveness. And Rochelle, what for me when I was a kid, I found it a lot easier to forgive than I do as an adult. I had my next door neighbor, Dave. We spent a lot of time together, and we fought, and we fist fight. I mean, just yell and scream at each other. Probably didn't even yell and scream at each other that much. We just decided to start throwing blows at each other. And then we'd cry, both of us start crying, and we'd head home. And then within a couple of hours, we were back playing with each other, and we didn't even give it a thought about what we just went through. It wasn't any sit down for an hour. Our parents didn't get us to sit down for an hour and work it out. We just did. I don't know. It just seemed easier to forgive in those days.
Well, and I laugh because when I saw that you were going to ask this question, my first thought was, I don't remember well. I don't know if I've mentioned I've had a couple fractures.
Yeah, you have. Yeah, but yeah, you have.
But I do remember, and it's so 70s. This was the 70s. Because my biggest memory...
Wasn't there a television program like that?
Yeah, I think there was. But I had a friend, she was... I had two friends, so we were a group of three, and we did get into fights, but one in particular, and I think it's important because it was the 70s, her father was African-American and her mother was white, and I think it was even a bigger deal to them that we all get along during that time frame. So we had to hold hands in a circle.
Okay.
Talk it out. And then sometimes there was music playing. It was just it's a surreal picture in my head of... It was almost prevent fights because who wants to stand around in a circle holding hands, talking?
Yeah, was that in Pullman or was that Moses Lake?
That was in Pullman. Yeah,
that so even makes that more sense. Get those college towns, you know, even in rural Washington, in the Palouse. Yeah, I don't know. It just seemed a lot easier to forgive then.
I think so. As kids, you were just ready to move on. You just want to play again. You don't want to... I'm wondering if being little girls, we held grudges a little longer than what you described.
Maybe. I don't know.
But eventually, yeah, you just pop back in, and maybe it took us till the next day to get back together. And I even watched that with my own kids when they were younger, saying, you know, I'm never going to play with you again. And within a couple hours.
You're going, yeah, right. Right.
Best friends again. So.
The need to play is stronger than the need to hold a grudge.
Exactly.
Maybe we need to play more as adults.
I think so. Mm. I need to play more.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I get to play today.
Yay.
I'm looking forward to it. I get to be the photographer for a Lutheran Family Services Taste of Hope event today, and I get to lug around the camera and look like a geek. From the photography of Greek geek this afternoon and evening. I really am looking for it. That's something different. With all the deaths we've had here at Holy Cross this last week, it's nice to be able to take my mind off it for a little bit before I have to do a very difficult funeral tomorrow with Pastor Roschke. That one's going to be tough. But anyway, so the Bible passage we're going to focus in on today comes from Colossians 3, verse 13, but I'm going to read verses 12 and 13 to give the context, where Paul writes to the Colossians, "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive." I hate that word, must. If it's a suggestion, okay, I can handle that. Thanks, Paul. I can handle a suggestion that we have to forgive, but must forgive. But I think he's kind of echoing Jesus' words, too, in the Sermon on the Mount, elsewhere. Let's start with a basic question. Why is it so important that we forgive other people? I mean, there's a couple of different options I see as a part of, instead of just forgiving someone, we can... two extremes here. We can attack the person, you know, get even or get ahead, which is my motto, or we can run away from it. We can flee from the situation as far as, and the person as far as we can. But the Bible suggests, doesn't suggest, it says plainly that forgiveness is the better way.
Right. And I'm going to give you a third option besides directly attacking.
Okay.
It's that pretending it never happened, but it's still, you're still holding on to it for later.
So you lie to yourself.
You can lie to yourself, or yeah, you just say it's okay. But that's the ones that build up until you just explode, and all of it, all of those offenses come out together.
Okay.
So eventually you do attack the person, but not right away necessarily.
That's a good point. I think that there can be at one point where we're sitting there saying, I'm just not going to react. And then it can go one of the other two directions after that. Probably will go one of the other two directions if we're not going to deal with it in confession and forgiveness. We're going to either attack the person or we're going to run away from it. I can still see that at the point where it gets to be
an end result.
Right? An end result, still one of those two. I tend to be the fleer. I tend to run away and not deal with it.
It sounds easier.
Yeah, it never goes away, right? The problem never goes away. Now, that's one of the things of forgiveness. Why I think forgiveness is so critical is because when it comes down to healing, forgiveness is at the root and the foundation of healing. If we're going to heal in our relationships, the only way we get healed with our relationship with God is through forgiveness. I don't know.
Right. Well, and I'm just thinking, too, for longer-term relationships. I just recently read, I don't even remember where I read it, but it was talking about friendships and how it was basically talking about what you said. It's easier to flee than to work through a conflict. It's easier to just end a friendship and start a new one, which for me isn't true. I don't know if that's true for others, really. But for me, it's better to work it through, and that becomes a stronger, deeper relationship. Otherwise, if you're constantly fleeing from it, you're just got shallow relationships all around you. And
you never get to the core of what it really means to be in relationship with another person.
Right.
You just deal with the surface. That's all it is. Yeah, I agree with you. And I mean, the obvious picture of that is marriage. You know, how can a marriage exist without forgiveness? And this text, actually, I use this at most of the weddings that I do. I use the Colossians 3, 12 through, it goes beyond 13. Can't remember exactly where I stop at. But anyway.
Such a good book. Such a good chapter. You could read the whole thing.
Oh, how about reading the whole Bible?
That's what I get going on. Yeah, and let's be honest, some people you just can't flee. You're either married to them or they're family in some sort, and you interact with them daily, so...
And yet they do flee, right? I can flee Janice even in her presence. I can flee her. I can just sit there and read a book, watch television.
And how long does that last?
Depends. Until something comes flying my way and hits me upside the head? No. Janice doesn't do that. Yeah, it really can't
last. That's just because she has impulse control, not because she
does. She does. She does. She worked it out all on her brother growing up. I won't say any more than that. I don't know. Yeah. Forgiveness is at the core of relationships.
Right. And you don't grow as a person. If you don't work through things and learn how to forgive, then you as a person will not grow and become a better person.
We're not going to get at it today because there's too much in this topic again, which keeps us in business of doing podcasts. the struggle to go to somebody on your knees metaphorically and ask for forgiveness. I mean, it's hard.
Yeah, it's not my favorite. Favorite activity.
Okay, but sometimes it's hard, and what we will be dealing with is to offer forgiveness when it's been asked of us. And that's what we're going to deal with today.
Asked. Yeah. Are we only dealing with people that are asking for forgiveness?
Today?
Yeah, today.
I got a feeling that'll be maybe the predominant part of our discussion, but I don't know, maybe we'll bring up here about what do you do with people who don't ask for forgiveness. I don't know. As our listeners, I think, understand, our conversations to go off in interesting directions that we don't usually plan. So who knows? Let's leave it open. Let's be very 60s. My era. All right, so we're going to take a break here, and when we come back, we're gonna do a couple of things in the next two segments. The first segment, we're going to talk about lies about forgiveness. And then in the third segment, we're going to talk about the positive side of forgiveness and talk about what forgiveness really is. We'll be back in a moment.
Are you looking for a place where you are welcomed as you are? A place where your thoughts are welcomed as well as your doubts? A place where you can talk about God without being judged? Then I invite you to join the life-changing experience of Life Tree Cafe. At Life Tree Cafe, you will spend an hour gathering with others to experience a host-led discussion over topics ranging from serious, fun, and quirky. For more information about Life Tree Cafe and for a location near you, visit their website at www.lifetreecafe.com. If you live in the Colorado Springs community, you are more than welcome to join us at Holy Cross for one of three Life Tree experiences on Monday or Tuesday over the lunch hour from 11:45 to 12:45, or on Wednesdays from 6 to 7 p.m. Life Tree Cafe. Come join the conversation.
If you have questions for Rochelle or me, we invite you to send us an email at questions@prayingwiththeeyes.com. We would love to hear more topic ideas from you too, and it pushes us because it's easy for us to think about the pet things we think about, and we need others to help us to expand our thoughts and ideas of what our important topics talk about. So questions or ideas, please email us again at questions@prayingwiththeeyes.com. A man by the name of Sam Storms has written a couple of blogs on this passage of Colossians 3:13 that we're going to reference today. A link to that, to two blogs that he actually wrote on this passage, are there for you in the show notes. And so to find the show notes for this podcast, go to prayingwiththeeyes.com. In the banner that's at the very top, you click on episode 25, and it'll take you to the show notes. And so we'll make sure to have those blogs posted there for you, plus other Bible passages and the picture that we're going to deal with and a link to that blog. So, a man again by the name of Sam Storms. I have no idea who this man is except for what he says about himself and about me, part of the blog. Actually, these are old blogs. These were written way back in 2006, so 10 years ago. And the blog is still going. He's still got it going up, and the new blogs are posted there. But he, in the study of Colossians 3:13, he takes on this idea of forgiveness. And his first blog, part one, is on lies about forgiveness, lies that maybe you and I believe. And he talks about five of them. Well, I'm not going to go over all five. Instead, we're going to talk about two of them. So if you want to find out the other three, again, go to the show notes and click on the link to the blog part one. And there you'll find the other three. We're going to take on two. And I think all of them are important, but I these are the ones that struck me that I thought would be good for Rochelle and I to talk about. So, Rochelle, lie number one, contrary to what many people have been led to believe, forgiveness is not about forgetting. I bet we struck a chord.
I'm sure we did. I just don't understand why we think we can forget.
Or I'll go further. Okay, you say can. I would say add to that, not disagreeing, but add to that must forget. We have to forget. So can forget and we're required to forget. Otherwise, we're not forgiving.
Right. Well, and that's what I'm saying. I don't understand how we think we are even able. I mean, there are minor offenses I'm sure I've forgotten about, and that's great. But if it's a true offense, I don't believe I am able to truly forget what happened.
There are two of those in my life that I can think of right now off the top. There's probably a lot more, but the two that come to my mind that are big offenses. And there's absolutely no way I can forget them. And if I did, I don't think it would be healthy either, because there are some things I had to learn about myself in the process of being hurt by someone else or other people in one case. You know, okay, so he brings up something that I think we got to talk about, because I hear about this often, and as I talked to you as we were preparing for today, was I've said this in sermons, and I'm having to rethink myself. And I'm going to quote him here, Sam Storm. I'm quoting him. He said, in relationship to forgiveness is not forgetting. First of all, God does not forget. Notwithstanding what you think Jeremiah 31:34 is saying. And Jeremiah 31:34 states, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. And in his rationale behind that, he says, look, God's speaking metaphorically here, not literally, because God in his omniscience can't forget. And I've thought about this, and I think it depends on our definition of remember. What does it mean to remember their sin?
Right. And did you have a chance to look up what the original?
I did not.
Just out of curiosity, because the more I ponder that, I mean, it's great that he said that, but we have to be careful when we call something metaphoric language, because you could do that anywhere if you just wanted to, you know.
And, you know, that's really a good point. Absolutely agree with you. It's very dangerous, but there is metaphoric language in the Bible,
right?
So can't deny that. So you had some thoughts on this, though, about God not remembering. You brought up another passage about forgiveness.
Right. I remove your sins as far as the east is from the west.
Yep.
And then you called out the second half because I've already forgotten it now.
I'm sitting here going, I say that, but I'm not sure I quote it correctly either. So
well, maybe I should look it up while we're talking.
I've got it here. I've got it. I'm looking it up right now. And I'm also going to look up what the Hebrew is there in the Jeremiah passage as well. So this is going to be a real challenge. What this is going to mean is that I am going to try to do two things at once.
All right. Well, I've got this one. So it's Psalm 103, verse 12. It's just, he has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. And my whole point of bringing that up was saying that doesn't mean it's forgotten necessarily. It just means it's so far removed from us.
Yeah, yeah, so far it isn't removed.
It doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, it's a different language. So, again, you have to say that's metaphoric in the sense that how do you remove sin as far as the way the east is from the west? It's a picture language, right?
And
the
right.
Psalms
well,
are picture
Psalm,
language.
So that's even more likely, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, in a lot of the prophets are also in poetic language, and I'm not sure whether the Jeremiah 31:34 passage is poetic language or prose, because you get both in Jeremiah. Let me look it up here. I want to see. You got me curious. You did this to me. You know, why do you do this to me?
I should have done it before we started talking.
Because now I'm trying to do three things at once. And type, talk, and it just doesn't work.
And whatever the third thing is, you're not able to do. I see.
It is.
All right. So while you're
okay,
looking
what's
it
happening?
Up, I'll
Come
say
on.
If it is metaphoric, then it just means he's not going to expect anything from our sin anymore.
Okay.
But if it's literal, then somehow God can forget in his omniscience, in his everything he is, he can also cancel out what he wants to cancel out.
Well, here's the problem I'm having. What am I typing in the wrong? I'm typing in the wrong.
You are.
No, I'm not. I must have given the wrong passage. It's not Jeremiah 31:34, because there is no such thing. There is no such thing.
For I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more is Jeremiah 31:34.
Okay, so why in the world am I typing Jeremiah wrong? Let's do this. Let's abbreviate it. And there it is. It's amazing.
And he does go straight into poetry right after that, so I can see a argument for that being metaphoric.
Zakar, which is remember, yeah, just it's a word that you hear all the time, the word that's used all the time for remember in the Old Testament, very, very popular.
So, it's a popular word, huh?
Yeah. And Lo Zakar, Ezakar, it's, so, I don't know if that helps you or not, but that's just the word that's used there. So anyway, and you know, let's get on to some of the other issues related to this, though. He says also that the idea of forgiving and forgetting simply is psychologically impossible, and I think that's absolutely true. I've shared that with people in my office.
I agree with that. And even if you can somehow make your mind forget, I'm not even wording that properly. I know that significant anniversaries my body reacts to even if I don't actively remember them. So I would think that would go in the same category. Perhaps I forgot the actual situation, but the emotions attached to it still can come out.
And in a time when you don't even expect it. I mean, something there can be a trigger happening that you didn't have any control over that's going to bring it up, which brings to another point he makes in saying that it can be emotionally devastating to have this idea that forgiveness means forgetting, because you may be doing, I'm paraphrasing him, but that you may be doing real well with a situation, and then all of a sudden something happens again that reminds you of it, and all the emotions come back again, and then you beat yourself up saying, oh, I must not have forgiven the person because I didn't forget it.
Right. I couldn't have possibly truly forgiven them because I remember this offense now.
Which he would say then is a false, if we're to forgive as the Lord has forgiven us, then that's a false understanding of God's forgiveness, that forgiveness is not his forgetting.
Right. Which would extend to his forgiving is canceling our debt.
Right. And he makes a strong point about that, and not holding that sin against us anymore through Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. So,
Right. Well, and I think it's important to talk about that's how this author talks about dealing with forgiveness is when it does, the offense comes back to your mind, you just acknowledge it and again say, but I forgave them, you know, to yourself.
Right. Well, and I think it's satanic. I think Satan wants us to live with that idea that, well, you really didn't forgive them. Therefore, you can't really be forgiven. So it really comes back to a very personal thing that God can't forgive you because you, idiot, can't forgive someone else their simple little debt. Okay, let's take on line number 4. Forgiveness does not mean you are to make it easy for the offender to hurt you again. This is one people really struggle with, though. I think that there is this idea that if I'm going to offer forgiveness to someone, it means that the relationship goes back to pre-hurt times.
Right. Well, and I think biblically people might go, you forgive them 70 times 7. You might try to go to scriptures that just talk about turn the other cheek. Let them hurt you again and again is what you pull out of those verses. If you just pull them out.
So therefore, if I'm in an abusive relationship, I'm stuck in it because that's what forgiveness does. And you see, even as I mention that, I feel like this guilt inside of me saying, well, yeah, you should. You don't know the influence you're going to have on that person by sticking it out. You know, where do we draw the line on those kind of things? And I know that we've got listeners who are struggling with this.
And I think it isn't a simple, easy question to answer at all. It's situational.
And that's hard too, right? Because we sit there and say, wait, God deals in absolutes. How can something be situational? But it is. And the issue that you and I talked about in prep again was the issue of boundaries. And one of the things that is true is that a person may come and ask us for forgiveness, but they can't hurt us again in the same way that they hurt us previously. I'm not saying they will. I'm saying they can. And, well, go ahead.
I think I just got confused by what you are saying. In our own mind, they can't. I mean, they physically, of course, they could.
No, I mean, I know that. I'm saying the person that has, we have forgiven, has the potential of hurting us in the same way again.
Right. Okay.
And so, therefore, we got to be on guard against that. And so we deal with boundaries. Is it possible? Is it loving to say to someone, yes, I forgive you. And I mean that, I forgive you. I'm not holding this against you, but there's a change in our relationship. I cannot put myself into a situation again where I'm going to be hurt by you.
If you want it to be more positive, you could say you're setting them up for success rather than setting them up for failure in your relationship.
Okay. No, I think that's good. But I'm wrestling with that a bit. I'd say that's good, but explain that to me a little bit more, what you're driving at.
In other words, if we know that that's a weakness they have to treat people in a certain way, then don't set them up for failure by giving them that opportunity to hurt you again. So you're setting them up for success by setting a boundary that won't even put that temptation to hurt you into play.
Do you? Would you say that to the person?
I don't know that that's very nice to say to the person. Okay. It depends on the person and where they're at. It depends on what the situation is, again. I mean, I've had friends that we've set up boundaries. You know what? We're not going to, I don't know, I'm just going to throw one out. We will never go into business together because we know that the way we work together doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We are great friends. We play together well, but we will never work together because that will just cause hurt feelings.
So you set up that boundary, and it coming out of an experience where you tried it maybe at one time, and it didn't work, and then there was reconciliation from that, and saying, okay, we both know, and maybe both acknowledge that, or the other person. What if the other person says, "Well, no, I've changed. You know, I think I can go into business with you, and I'd really like because I'd like to be around you more, and try again."
It's just so funny that we're going through the scenario because I can think of that, and it would depend again on what you know and what's going on. Whether it's a no, or it's a okay, but let's set up some parameters, some checks and balances, so we know before it happens what's coming.
Yeah, or I've got to think about it.
And we put it in the terms of them. I mean, I know I did this in marriage when Bill and I, when I didn't like where we were living, and I was mad at him, and we had a nice good. I won't want to say argument, but anyway, a conflict. And eventually what came out of that was he would always pick out our home because we moved a lot, and I would choose to be happy with it. That's a boundary.
Okay. So, and again, we've only been talking about two of the five different lies that this man suggests, and probably more and things, but they're good reflections. So I would encourage you to go to the show notes and to find out what the other three of these lies are and to read his comments about them. When we come back from this break, we're going to talk about what forgiveness is and take a positive spin then on forgiveness after we've looked now at what we feel are lies about, what people say to us about what forgiveness is. We'll be back in just a moment.
At Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado, we encourage those who hunger to be nourished by God. We believe that true nourishment in our lives is met in our Creator and Redeemer God. At Holy Cross, we proclaim the message that our God desires intimacy with us through His Son, Jesus Christ, and that worship is an experience of this intimacy. To find out more about worship styles and times, visit our website at holycrosscs.org. That again is holycrosscs.org. And if you don't live in the Colorado Springs community or you are part of a different Christian community, we encourage you to join with God's people as He nourishes His relationship with you.
It's important that we keep this discussion going with you, our listeners. We appreciate that you are faithfully following this podcast, 25th podcast. It's hard to believe we've already gotten to 25 podcasts. We did a few extra at the beginning, so you know it should be about 24 a year, but we squeezed in a few at the very beginning to get people into listening to them. You can find all those past podcasts at iTunes if you'd like to go there and find out about them. But we want to hear from you, and so please email us at questions@prayingwiththeeyes.com. We've talked already about the lies that Sam Storms lists for us, five different lies. We took two of them about forgiveness. He doesn't call the next truths. I do. I think they are truths about forgiveness that he says in his second part to this study of Colossians 3:13. And again, let me go back over that and just read that passage for you again. And I'm just going to pick up in the middle this time at verse 13. Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And the topic that we're talking on is forgiveness, but under that theme, as. And we'll get to more of that in the fourth segment and talk specifically what it means to forgive as the Lord has forgiven us. So let's take on a couple of the truths. There's five of them, again, that he lists out. We don't have time to take on all of them. So you can go to the show notes and go to the part two of his discussion of Colossians 3:13, and you can find the other three truths there and be challenged by them as well. And so let's take on truth number two that he mentions, which is God forgave us in Christ by canceling the debt we owed him. That is to say, we are no longer held liable for our sins or in any way made to pay for them. And his jump-off point for us now in relationships, and I think that's a truth that we accept. Maybe not. Maybe some of you don't accept that. That's okay. I'm glad you're joining us in this discussion. But he uses that as a jump-off point for our relationship with others. And the big thing here is for him, and I don't know exactly how he made this connection, but I like what he said, that in this process then of it being the debt being canceled, we promise never to bring it up again to the offender, to others, or even to ourselves. So what are those promises? And he lists out three of them, and I think these are really good. That we promise never to throw it back in a person's face. I like that. But it happens, doesn't it?
I think it happens frequently. That's why it was part of my marriage counseling. That was one of the rules.
that was not to throw...
Right. Once you've discussed it, worked through it, it's not to come up again.
And when it's forgiven, it's forgiven. Doesn't mean, okay, we're not talking about forgetting, but we just don't bring it back up again. See, and I see that as kind of manipulation. We're trying to manipulate the other person when we bring something back up. Well, remember back when, you know.
Right. And I usually don't do the female-male thing. I don't always like that. But do you think that's more of a female trait?
I don't know that it is. I think that it's done differently. Okay. I still think guys are just as capable of doing this. I think it's a marriage thing, you know, that where we hear about it more is marriage. But guys to guys, I think we do this with each other. I think that I think it goes more internal. I guess I'm just giving my thoughts on this. I think it may not be said directly. But the person's thinking it. Yeah, well, I remember when you did this.
Okay.
But that's not necessarily thrown in their face by the words, but my actions then reflect that.
Okay, right. And your expectations of them kind of go as to what you remember.
Right. In the area of, and there's some legitimacy to what I'm going to say now, and that is the area of trust. You know, well, you did this to me once and I couldn't trust you, so, you know, but it actually can be an issue of forgiveness too. I'm struggling, so we don't throw it back in their face. Well, I can't trust you. Well, maybe you can't. That could be true.
Right. But when you're keeping score and bringing up each situation, that's not forgiveness.
Okay.
That's...
Now you brought it in. Now you just clarified for me the issue with men. It is about keeping score and winning.
And I don't think that's just men. I think that's exactly what it is, at least for me. If I was to, I think I've worked really hard at not, I guess verbalizing. It will come back to my mind, but I won't verbalize.
It seems to me that one of the reasons why we do this is for whatever reason, when we forgive, forgiveness doesn't satisfy our need for justice all the time. And so when we've been hurt deeply within a marriage, let's say, and so something similar happens again, and so we bring up the past event because we don't really feel like justice was done. Well, I had to forgive you because that's a godly thing to do, you know. God told me I had to forgive you, you know, and we don't really work through the issue of justice. I don't know if that makes sense. But.
Oh, it does make sense. It actually makes perfect sense. You don't feel like it was handled. And obviously, if they've repeated the offense, they weren't truly sorry.
So right, exactly. Well, you asked for forgiveness. Were you really asking for forgiveness? You just did it again.
I'm just thinking of a terrible story from my college days when I had an actress. I was her dresser. And every night she would yell at me and have a flip out and then come back at the end of the evening and apologize every day. And at one point I finally, this is terrible. I shouldn't confess this on here. But one of my jobs was to put a hat in her hair and we used those really long hat pins and I missed. And I missed on purpose. Sorry, because she was doing it again. That wasn't forgiveness. That was justice.
Hey, that sounds like a movie.
Terrible. But anyway,
We all have those kind of things where we've done stuff like that. The second, another thing he says is that we make the promise never to hold it over their heads and as future leverage, you know?
Right.
I can't go into details on this, but there was one real serious issue in a congregation I served once that was a part of a marriage. You know, the whole marriage was around that leverage. Because it was a serious mistake the one person in the marriage made. Very serious, an infidelity issue. You know, and that was held over that person's head the whole time.
Right. Well, and then how can they ever heal from it if it's continually coming back? I mean, if God did that to us, if he was constantly saying, well, remember, Rochelle, that day, I think it would cause a large amount of despair, the inability to move forward.
And that it does. If nothing else, the relationship will never move forward. You know, that part of it is for sure. It's not, it can't, how can it? You know, it's going to be stuck in this, I've got leverage over you. And the leverage wasn't to, there was no end to it. Okay. The purpose of the leverage was to keep the one person under control.
Right.
So. A third promise, then, is never bring it up to other people, and therefore we're trying to justify our actions.
I will just confess right here, that's probably where my biggest area of struggle is today.
Without going into detail, you know, anything, what does that look like?
That looks like, okay, I've put up boundaries, which is fine. But justifying my boundaries by explaining to everybody around me why those boundaries were needed.
For that person.
Right.
Okay.
And because that makes other people judge them now. Now they don't even have a place that they can start out with new people to get their own reputation. I'm damaging their reputation when I'm doing that. And I'm not forgetting. I'm not forgiving.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if I'd truly forgiven, then I would give them the opportunity to start over.
With others, at least, even if you had to set boundaries down for you, you don't have to poison everybody else.
Right. And I think that's, again, the need for justice. I still need somebody to agree with me that that was bad.
Oh, absolutely. You just need justice, isn't it? This whole thing, I get maybe this whole truth that and as it is applied, you know, that the truth, again, going back to what the truth is, that Christ has canceled our debt. We owe him, and then our reflection of that forgiveness with others is that we promise not to bring it up again into the offender, to others, to ourselves. All this is about justice. I think that's a critical aspect of it.
I think it is.
So let's move to the second one we want to deal with, and this is truth number 4 from Sam Storm's second blog on Colossians 3:13, and he He writes here, forgiving others as God has forgiven us means that we determine to do good to them rather than evil. And he quotes Romans 12, 17 through 21, which is really a difficult passage to put into practice, where Paul writes, repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
So which part of that passage do you want to focus on?
You know, as I read it again, it's still about justice. The whole issue of vengeance is about justice. And some people will I'm sure, in their brain, read that quote, vengeance is mine, is not God's, but mine. We don't finish off, I will repay, says the Lord. God has just justified my need to seek revenge. Yeah.
I know. Well, and then how much of it is me seeking revenge by being kind to them, hoping I'm heaping burning coals on their head?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, really. Which burning coals may have been positive because the fire was needed for something else. I don't know. I've heard that explanation a long time ago.
I almost think that I'm going to be using all the wrong terms so people can correct me.
Good. I'm glad.
But in our secular society, they tend to do... We do better from that point of view than from the Christian perspective. The whole idea of karma, that's what that is, right?
Oh,
there.
Yeah, yeah.
Whether it's the proper definition of karma or not, I actually don't know. But
well, you and I talked about this before. Yeah. In the Christian version of that is pay it, pay it forward?
Pay it forward, yeah.
Where you do good things and something good will come back to you. That's, to me, that is a Christian form of karma. I'm not saying it's not, you shouldn't pay it forward, but if you're doing good to someone else means what you're really looking for is that somebody will do good to you, that's not...
Right, that's not the right motive.
No, it's not biblical.
And that's what, as I'm looking at this passage, because... I think the biggest piece I would struggle with after I've spent time going on here is, okay, I'm going to leave it up to God to take care of that person. I'm going to be kind and loving. And then God doesn't do it. Right? God does not smite them. Haven't I used that?
You did. You have used that word before.
when their life is still going great and everything's wonderful, and I say, Lord, what happened to my justice? I thought you said you were going to give me justice. And that's not what he says at all.
I can hear you slapping your hands.
Can you?
Yeah, it's very good. Very good. Yeah, I think we're Jonah.
We are Jonah,
and he's really ticked off that God
destroy
did
destroy them. Yes,
yeah. Smite
and God
them.
Forgives, and that makes us angry too.
Except when it's applied to us.
Well, right, right. I think I had a therapy session at some point where I was complaining about people who had great offenses towards me. And my therapist finally said, well, you think rather highly of yourself, don't you? You know? And that has stuck with me because you know what? She was right. It comes down to, I think they deserve to be punished, but I deserve to be forgiven.
Of course you do.
Because I know my own heart and they're not sorry, but I am.
And you have that great insight of discernment into their heart. It reminds me of a parable Jesus told, too, of the debts that were owed by slaves. And one forgives a whole lot, and the other is forgiven a whole lot, and the other is only forgiven a little. And the guy who's only forgiven a little goes out and demands from his fellow slave to repay the measly amount. The one who's forgiven the little. Yeah, okay. Sorry. Forgiven their debts and you know, the one who forgives much, who's forgiven much, forgives much. How much? And the reality in that story is we're all forgiven much. There ain't one of us that doesn't owe God a huge amount of debt, and we're all forgiven. And so we ought to forgive. And with that, then, we're going to get now into the blog that was written by Larissa Odell called As. We'll get into that in our next segment. And so stick with us, and we'll finish up as we talk about forgiving as the Lord has forgiven us.
Are you looking for a place where you are welcomed as you are? A place where your thoughts are welcomed as well as your doubts? A place where you can talk about God without being judged? Then I invite you to join the life-changing experience of Life Tree Cafe. At Life Tree Cafe, you will spend an hour gathering with others to experience a host-led discussion over topics ranging from serious fun and quirky. For more information
in
about Life Tree Cafe and
our
for a location
time
near
together,
you,
we'll talk about
visit their website at www.lifetreecafe.com. If you live in the Colorado Springs community, you are more than welcome to join us at Holy Cross for one of three Life Tree experiences on Monday or Tuesday over the lunch hour from 11:45 to 12:45, or on Wednesdays from 6 to 7 p.m.
Not that we'll have all the answers for you.
Life Tree Cafe. Come join the conversation.
We'll wrestle with you what it means to forgive as the Lord has forgiven us. We would again appreciate any questions or thoughts that you have that you'd like to share with us. We'd love it if you would email us at questions@prayingwiththeeyes.com. So the picture that goes along with this blog is one I took recently when I was at a pastor's conference. I purposely got there early because I wanted to do some street photography. What I try to do is make pictures available for the other bloggers for their daily devotions. And most of them use their own pictures, and they're great pictures, and I appreciate that. But I feel that an obligation to have something there if they can't take a picture or they don't like taking pictures. And so there's I knew that I needed some more pictures to put in a queue for them so that they could pick from them. And so I did some street photography. This is not my gift. I'm pretty self-conscious. I'm about taking pictures. And a lot of us photographers are. You may think that we're just idiots out there sticking cameras in people's faces. And I struggle with doing that. And this day I didn't take pictures of any people. I just took pictures of things that captured my interest. I've used a few of them lately in some of my blogs. One that I used recently was a bicycle up on top of a wall, outside wall that was up there. And you sit there and you look and you go, what's that doing there? You know, it's not meant to be on a wall. It's meant to be ridden. And so I those kind of pictures. But the picture that I took was, I think I've mentioned this before, my fascination with chairs that are side by side. And this is one of those pictures again. And these bright red chairs with a table in the middle of them, and looking out toward the street there in Canyon City, Colorado. And the reason why I put that with Larissa's blog on As, again, as we heard from Colossians 3, verse 13, we are to forgive as the Lord has forgiven us. There's a mutuality in that. And the two chairs being side by side, nobody's sitting in them. The chairs being side by side pictured to me this kind of idea of mutuality, that the Lord and me sitting there, and he's saying to me, hey, this is how I've forgiven you. Guess what? I'm asking you to forgive in the same way. So that brings up the most important question to tie things together here. What does it mean to forgive as the Lord has forgiven us? And I'm going to put that on your shoulders. You get to answer it.
Oh, I was enjoying just listening. Rephrase that question. What prevents us? Is that the same?
We'll get to that in a second. Right. What does it look like? What does it mean to forgive as the Lord has forgiven us?
See, that's a big question. That is mean.
It is a big question. And
it's forgiving without parameters, and it's forgiving in love. And those are two, I think, the biggest things. When you forgive in love, unconditional love, that means you're forgiving without asking for the justice. You're giving up.
Okay, so what came to my mind when you said that then is the idea that it's not about me. Forgiveness is not about, when I'm forgiving somebody, it's not about me. And the reason, and I'm saying that, I'm kind of wrestling with that even when I said it out loud, because it's I've got to get out of the way. of my
I was
means.
Say it's not about me, but it does benefit me. And yeah. I think maybe that's why it's hard to move out of the way of it at all.
Yeah, but there's where you get into the tension again. If it benefits me, am I doing it because it benefits me? You know, we're so, as human creatures, because of sin, we wrestle with narcissism.
We do, but it's funny because I think with forgiveness, if it's because it benefits me, it actually won't benefit you. It won't work out that way.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, yeah. When I do it to benefit. And so, squirrel moment. I wonder if that also holds true with when we talk about giving to get. You know, so I'm going to give to get. Well, you don't really get, you know, if you're giving to get.
Right.
So forgiving to be forgiven. Same kind of thing?
I think so, or at least to receive the benefits. If I'm forgiving to receive the benefit of forgiveness, which would be not carrying the burden anymore, I think I'll still be carrying the burden because it's still there. You're still expecting something.
Okay. I love how you said it's still there. And that's been my struggle with therapy. I'm going to preach on this actually on Sunday, this issue. And I love therapy. I've been through therapy, and I probably will have to go through again sometime. But the purpose of therapy has changed for me in my brain, in that counseling has a very important purpose in helping me cope in my life. But the only thing that can heal is forgiveness. The forgiveness of Christ is one for me. It's all about God is the only one who can heal, okay? And therapy helps me, and a good therapist helps me deal with the consequences in life here, but it doesn't work healing. And so forgiveness is so critical for me in this whole argument. It's the only thing that saved me. It's the only thing. So for me to forgive others, I'm chewing still on what you said.
While you're chewing, I'll just bring up something that we haven't really brought up was, and I don't know if that was in amongst the lies or not, but we as Christians feel like we have to forgive immediately too sometimes. Forgive before we acknowledge the offense. And that also is not true forgiveness.
Yeah, he did bring that up. That's one of the lies I think that he talks about. It may be more, it might even be a truth about it being a process to forgive.
Right. So, I think it's just one of the more important pieces for Christians, especially, or at least maybe for me especially, I was forgiving people and not really dealing with what had happened and really letting that sink in. And I've been learning that you have to acknowledge the offense, acknowledge the hurt, and then you can forgive it.
I've had people talk to me about the inability to forgive somebody, especially when the other issue we didn't talk about is people don't ask for forgiveness. And the one situation for my first congregation way back sticks in my mind, where the person said, I want to forgive, but I can't. Should I take communion? And I said, yes, because that's the power of forgiveness is what's going to help you to work through your desire to forgive. And so it's that process. And we think it should happen instantaneously. God's capable of doing that. I'm not so geared toward that. You know, I'm not. So what prevents us then from forgiving as the Lord has forgiven us?
Well, start with we're not him.
Good
our
place
own
to start.
Nature, right?
Yeah, and we ought to acknowledge that. You know? And we're forgiven for our inability to forgive.
Right. I had to think that through for a minute, yeah. We are forgiven for our inability to forgive. And just, I was also thinking that I think sometimes we struggle with forgiving as he has forgiven because he trusts what he did for us. His death on the cross was enough.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that we always trust that that's enough.
That we need to offer something more to it, or God needs to do more than that, or what?
All of those things. Either we need to do more to receive forgiveness, that whoever has offended us needs more punishment, that Christ's punishment wasn't enough to cover what they did or to cover what I did.
I agree, and I think one of the things, just kind of put a picture to it, is we want to flog ourselves. I do. I've been accused of that, and it's true. You know, What I did was so bad, you know, I know God forgives me, but until I have sufficiently flogged myself, I'm not really forgiven. At least I don't feel forgiven.
Right. I mean, I visited churches in Ukraine that still literally do that.
Oh, wow.
I think that we as humans, that's just another lie of Satan. We need to be flogged. What Christ did wasn't really full payment.
Because what I did was so terrible. And so beyond the gift of forgiveness, if I don't contribute something to it, then I'm really not going to be forgiven. And that's not true. It's a lie. Yeah.
It's a lie that makes me angry. And I think it's a very common lie that I don't even know if we actively believe it. I think it's just an underlying presence.
And what makes me angry about it is I buy into it.
Right.
You know, it's not just that the Christian community buys into it. And I buy into it. You know, I've got things that once in a while I still will flog myself over. And my flogging goes like this, and it seems really trite, but the image will come back of something I did, and the feeling comes back with that because of the seriousness of it, of this kind of despair, and how could I ever have done that in my life? And so then the next thing that comes out of my mouth is, God, forgive me. You know, 10, 15, 20 years ago. And,
right.
And I sit there and I have to tell myself consciously, Doug, God has forgiven you. Now ask for strength to not go that direction again.
Right.
That's a bitter prayer.
It is a bitter prayer. And I keep thinking it's just perpetuated. I have a good friend that did something and has confessed to several people because it's helping her. And she has a family member that said, but you still will suffer the consequences of that.
Man.
And it's kind of another way of saying you need to be flogged still.
There's another podcast in that one, too.
Right. Sometimes we suffer the consequences, but sometimes God in his mercy doesn't make us suffer any consequence. He forgives, and that's it. And I think that's the one where we have the hardest time accepting.
Or the consequence is more internal than external. What I mean by that is there wasn't as big ramifications in my relationship with other people, but there sure is inside of me. But we blow it up to being huge.
We make it about us again.
Okay, that's so it comes back. That's a good way, and that's a good place to bring this discussion on forgiveness to a close, because it's not about us. It's about what God has done for us, and it's about other people. And you were used the word love, and you talked about the fact that this love is unconditional love, and the Greek word again that we're talking about in that is agape, and that's what this. The love to forgive is all about. It's not about just mere brotherly love or whatever, but it's that self-sacrificing, unique word used by Scripture for love in agape. So we thank you for listening to today's podcast. We hope that it's benefiting your life, these podcasts, and that we're adding value to you. If you have questions for us or thoughts, please email us at questions@prayingwiththeeyes.com. The Praying with the Eyes ministry is a ministry of Holy Cross Lutheran Church, and a lot going on here in Colorado Springs, Colorado. We would invite you to visit the church's website at holycrosscs.org. We worship on Sunday mornings at 8 o'clock, 9:30, and 11 o'clock, with Bible study at 9:30 for children and adults. And we do have a small group that started at 11 o'clock for adults as well. Please let your friends and relatives know about this podcast. Share it on your social media or talk to them about it and send a link to your family and friends. We feel that this is important stuff we talk about. Really excited about our next podcast coming up on already June 1. That podcast is going to feature a woman who is a mother of 8 and who has adopted 6 of these children through foster care adoption. Her name's Natalia Parker, and we're excited to have her join with Rochelle and me next week as we talk about what adoption is like. She's a dynamic speaker. I heard her speak at a Lutheran Family Services banquet this last September, and she agreed to come on wholeheartedly. She's excited to join us, and I know you'll benefit from that. And it's not necessarily to get you to think about adopting, but how you can support families who have adopted or who are engaged in foster care. So, Rochelle and I look forward to you being with us in our next podcast.
Thank you for joining us today on this edition of the Praying with the Eyes podcast. These podcasts are produced by Jason Laird Productions, which you can find online at jasonlairdproductions.com. For thoughts or questions you might have, please email Doug. That is questions@prayingwiththeeyes.com. Be sure to subscribe to the Praying with the Eyes podcast on iTunes, as well as post a review. We invite you to tell a friend about today's podcast by posting a link on your social media accounts. We look forward to being with you in our next episode.